We're doing Drashot Aran. We're beginning the second speech. And gentlemen, let me tell you, if you're going to learn only one piece in the Aran, in my humble opinion, this is possibly the most important piece in the Aran. This is one of my favorite works in general, in all of Judaic literature. So I'm excited that we're going to start this. The topic is going to be, why does God love the Jews? That's a big topic, right? Now, what's fascinating about this speech of the Ran's is not only the way he's going to present it based on Tanakh, but what fascinates me is that this is a topic that's discussed by many, not only the Ran. And the answers are not identical. The Maharal stresses certain points in God's love of the Jewish people, points that have a basis in Chazal and in Tanakh, and the Ran is going to stress completely different points. And it's especially important that you guys learn this Ran. You're here in Machon Meir, and Machon Meir, going in the footsteps of Merkaz Arav and in the footsteps of Rav Kook, puts a heavy emphasis on Maharal. And the Maharal stresses certain aspects of God's love for the Jewish people, the uniqueness of the Jewish people. And I think it's important, in order to have a more broad perspective, that we learn the Ran as well, so that we can see other things, other points of importance, not only the Maharal. In the Kuzari and the Maharal, you'll learn one way of looking at things, and the Ran is going to teach us other points to stress, other vantage points. And we're at the beginning of the second speech of the Ran's. We'll dedicate our learning this morning to Yaakov Shalom ben Shabtai Yitzchak. Yaakov Shalom ben Shabtai Yitzchak. And the Ran begins with a verse we have over here, gentlemen. In the Mosad Hav Kook edition, it's page Nun Vav. In the Machon Shalem edition, that edition, it's page Chaf Aleph. And Ran. Ravenu Nisim, the Ran. He was the chief rabbi approximately 800 years ago. The Ran from the Gemara. Yes, that Ran. He wrote these speeches. Page Chaf Aleph in the Shalem edition, page Chaf Hei in the Mishor edition. And the Ran begins with a quote from the Pasuk in Malachi. And we read this Pasuk as the Haftara on Parshat Toledot, when we read about the birth of Yaakov and Esav. So, So we read, the Haftara we read is this section in Malachi. And these are the opening Pesukim of the prophet Malachi, the last of the prophets of the Jewish people. What more important topic does Malachi have to discuss than the eternal love between God and the Jewish people? Think about it. Malachi is our last prophet. His prophecy is what's going to take us throughout the exile till today. So we have all the prophets till today. But there's still, it would seem, extra responsibility, an extra message that the last prophet has to give us. And the last is Malachi. How does Malachi conclude his prophecy? Who knows? We have a Trayasar here. Gentlemen, we just learned it.
That all nations will come in Sukkot, worship on the Har Kadosh. Yes.
What does it say in the end of Malachi?
That all nations will come in the holy in Sukkot, worship God.
Zichu Torat Moshe Avdi. We end the prophets. Remember the Torah of Moshe. Asher tziviti oto v'chorev al kol Yisrael, that I commanded him for all of Israel. Point number one, remember the Torah, it's eternal. Hinei anochi sholeach lachem. You guys know the song? I'm sending you et Eliyahu Anavi. I'm sending you Elijah the prophet. Lifnei bo yom Hashem agadol v'anora, before the coming of God's great and awesome day, v'eshiv levavot al banim, he will bring back the hearts of the fathers to the children, v'lev banim al avotam, etc. That's the end of Malachi.
That's the source for the coming of Eliyahu.
This is one source, yeah. But Malachi begins. The Torah is eternal and we're waiting for Eliyahu. Mm-hmm. But Malachi begins his prophecy with a point of eternal importance, the point of God's love for the Jewish people. And Malachi begins, Ahavti etchem, amar Hashem. The Ran quotes the pasuk. God says, I love you. Simple verse, right? You know, as parents, we got to say that to our kids. I love you. They have to hear it. And I'll tell you a little secret. As kids, we have to say it to our parents too. For some reason, it's hard, but they need to hear it too. V'amaltem, when you'll be a parent, you'll understand. V'amaltem, b'ma'ahavtanu. And you, the Jewish people, will say, in what do you love us? Haloach Esav le'Yaakov ne'um Hashem. God says, you know, Esav and Yaakov are brothers. Va'ohav et Yaakov. And I love Jacob. Ve'et Esav saneti. And I hate Esav. What kind of answer is that? We ask, why do you love us? God says, well, you're two brothers and I love you and I hate you. Huh? What's the answer in that? V'asim et harav shemamah ve'et nachlato letanot midbar. I've destroyed his cities, his mountaintops. What's the answer here? Pshata katuv, says the Ran. The simple understanding of the verse. Mare ki avat Hashem yitbarach otanu. It seems to indicate that God's love of us, tivada mitzad mashaya isav shavel Yaakov ba'achva. That's known. How do we recognize that? When we recognize that Esav and Yaakov were equals, they were brothers. The relationship between Esav and Yaakov is not like the relationship between Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yitzchak and Yishmael have different mothers. Yishmael is the son of the maid. We have no contest with Yishmael. The contest doesn't begin. That's why the Muslims always try to say, oh, you changed the Torah, you obliterated the Torah. They make all kinds of ridiculous claims which history doesn't bear out. You have the Roman translation of the Torah way before the Muslims came onto the scene. So how could they say Muhammad was written there? We took it out. Like the Rambam says, it's a ridiculous claim. It's logically ridiculous. It has nothing to do with Judaism. Historically, it's a ridiculous claim. But the contest doesn't begin because they're the son of the maid. God says, "V'gamet ben ha'amal le'goya simenu." Don't worry, Abraham. I'll take care of the son of the maid. I'll also make him into a big nation, but he's the son of the maid. God says it. It's open psukim in the Torah. But when it comes to Yaakov and Esav, they're brothers. They share the same father. They share the same mother. And so God's saying, you want to know my love for you, you can know it from the fact that Esav and Yaakov are equals. They're brothers. And therefore it would be fitting that we should have equal inheritance. Veloni Yaakov, and that's not what happened. Aval ahavet Yaakov liot mevorchot arzo v'nachal Esav nachala mevohelet. But rather, God loves Yaakov, gives him the blessed territory, and gives Esav a territory that Esav rushes to take. Esav territory that's not blessed. V'zematmiya, and this causes one to wonder. Ki en chok Hashem yitbarach chok ahava menchil. God doesn't act like a father who's giving over his portions. When a father is giving over his inheritance, asher ben mevishu machbir betoch achim yachlok nachala, that when you have a son, even though every time this son opens his mouth, he embarrasses the father. Every time this son walks into a place, he embarrasses the father. He's always a mess. He's always foolish. At the end of the day, he's a son. And when the father has to give over his inheritance, he gives everyone. God doesn't work that way. Aval chuko, but rather God's rule is l'anchilo avav yesh. He gives existence to those that love him, umkulalav yikareitu, and those that curse him are cut off. Me'en pnot el sher besaram. God doesn't know what family they're from. God says, what kind of life have you led? I don't care who you're from. Well, if you've been a wicked person, I'll take you to task for that. Ki'achvatam v'kuvvatam lamalo. What does God care over their familial relationship? So what's God saying here? God says, you want to know my love for you? Well, you two were brothers, and I love you and I hate him. So what if we're brothers? This isn't an inheritance. God says, I love those who do what's right. I hate those who do what's wrong. What's God saying? You want to know how I love you? Well, come there. I love you and I hate Esau. So what? God isn't like a father that has to give everyone equal portions in his inheritance. God says, I judge each person by his merits or demerits.
What about this idea that God loves everyone? The thing like
after classes, stick to those.
Yeah. V'lazach shom. So therefore, I think, says the Ran, meaning we have to understand what God's answer is. We ask God a simple question. Why, in what do you love us? God says, well, Esav and Yaakov are brothers, and I love Yaakov and I hate Esav. So the question is, what's the answer in that? You gave us mitzvahs, we kept them. They were murderers. So obviously, they didn't get the portion of Israel. We did get the portion of Israel. What's the answer? That's God's love for us. Is God's love for us contingent on our actions? And if so, then what's God saying, the comparison between us and Esav? So there's a deeper point here. Yes?
Well, because I want to say that since we've based on the fact that we dismissed this, but do we, like, you know, the Duma Marzava, thing now says that Hashem divorced us. Like, what's the next? We were supposed to be put out of the land.
Okay, but God is talking about the time of Yaakov and Esav. God is talking about who did I give the land of Israel? Well, the land of Israel was given to Yaakov as opposed to Esav because of, on the surface of things, we're going to discuss that. But on the surface, it would seem Yaakov got the land of Israel because of the lifestyle he led. He stuck to monotheism. He led a moral life. Esav was raping women right and left. He was murdering. He was stealing. So yeah, Esav didn't get the land of Israel. But what does that have to do with God's love for us? God had to choose. Yitzhak had two children. One son was leading a moral life. One son was leading an immoral life. That son's children, we the children of Yaakov, say, in what do you love us, God? God says, well, look, I love Yaakov and I hate Esav. What kind of answer is that? Right? That's the Ran's point. Okay. I'm contemplating whether we should pause here and get some Rambanin or do another paragraph. We should try starting the answer. Okay. So you understand that we're touching a nerve here. We're attacking a problem or an issue which is central to Jewish faith. As Yehuda rightly pointed out, this is what the prophet Hosea is also dealing with. If the Jewish people are sinning, do you still love us? Are we still the chosen people? How does this work? V'lazeach shov. And therefore, I think, and I apologize in advance, we will not complete the whole speech in one sitting, so we will not have a complete answer today. But we're starting. And therefore, I think, says the Ran, Ki mitzad sheteva inyan Esav chiev liyoto reshit tzareinu al kol sheirit hagoyim. That because Esav's nature, the whole concept of Esav's purpose in the world, that really, Esav's job, so to speak, is to be our nemesis. He's our arch enemy. And he's supposed to be the prime enemy of the Jewish people. Where does Amalek come? Amalek comes from Esav. He's Esav's grandson, right? Son, grandson. Mitzad eyoto ach li Yaakov kmo shafaresh. And this stems from the fact that he's Yaakov's brother, as we will explain. Right now it doesn't make complete sense yet. Wait, we're starting a thought. Amara ketuv. So that's why the verse says, "Ki b'masha ahavet Yaakov ve'viol menuchato," that in the fact that God loved Yaakov, brought him to his territory to rest. Ve'esav gurash min goy, and Esav was chased from his nationality. Nodach hasadav v'rav tuv lebeit Yisrael. From that we could recognize God's kindness and the good that God does for the house of Israel. How so? V'hu. כי בכל עמים רבים לא יימצא ראוי לשטות עברה וקינה בממשלת ישראל כעשה. When you look throughout the nations, you won't find a nation that is more fitting to represent the anger and jealousy over the Jewish reign than Esau. The nation that's most fitting, their job in this world is to maintain an eternal enmity for the Jewish people is the nation of Esau. Ki she'erit ha'goyim asher kadmu le'Avraham, because the remaining nations, Avraham's children, כבר ראו כי בו בחר השם יתברך. The other nations that existed before Avram, we know there were 70 nations, right? Tower of Babel, we have a scattering, you have a myriad of nations. Those nations already recognized that God chose Avram and his offsprings. וזרו ראוי להיות יורש עצר. So his children inherit that gift. ולכן לא תראה אינם בממשלתו כלל. So they don't have to feel bad. God took Avram and they know that. וכן ראוי להיות דבר האומות המסתעפות ממשפחת אברהם לבל יקנו בזרע יצחק. And by the same token, Avram's children, they can recognize God chose Yitzhak as his continuum. אבל יחלקו כבוד לבני הגבירה. They know we're the sons of the maid, so we can respect the son of Sarah. Avram and Sarah have one child, it's Yitzhak. That's a continuum of Avram. God promised Avram he will be his chosen person. כי כן לימדו מבותם. So that's what their forefathers taught them. ולזה מונחים בטבעם, לא ירו ולא ישחיתו קודש השם יתברך אשר אהב. And that's why, so to speak, it's within their nature that they don't have to come, their purpose in the world is not to destroy the holy people of God. That's not their purpose. אבל עשיו, but עשיו, להיותו אח ליעקב, being that he is Yaakov's brother, בן כבודה כמו, he shares the same mother as he does. Tera'ino be'achiv. He looks badly upon his brother. U'beven imo mitnaseh alav yiten dofi. And when he sees Yaakov, who shares the same parents, he's, so to speak, making himself greater than him. He's saying, God gave me the Torah, I'm the chosen people. Then he has an issue with Yaakov. Im lo yeshiv Hashem yitbarach achoy mino be'avatot Yaakov. If God doesn't hold him back, then Esav would, his sole purpose would be to destroy Yaakov. Esav can't stand the fact that Yaakov is chosen. It's interesting. The Muslims believe in their way of life. If you want to convert to Islam, good. The Muslims don't say, we're the chosen people. They say, this is the chosen faith. But they don't say, we're the chosen people. They say, this is the way God wants a person to live. Hitler and his people, they said, we're the chosen people. Christians say, we're the chosen people. We have to leave some Jews around so that they'll ultimately say we were right. Right? You guys know that. Part of Christian belief is that some Jews have to stick around, that we're always the church's Jews. Some Jews have to be around so that ultimately they'll admit that we were right. But you don't have to keep a lot alive for that.
So all who will accept Jesus Christ will be chosen people.
Okay.
All can join.
But notice the stress on chosen people. The Ran says we have a different issue with Yishmael than we have with Esav. With Yishmael recognizes God chose them. Then along comes a religion, so now it's a religious debate. But it's not a debate about who's the chosen people. At least it shouldn't be a debate. With Esav, it's a debate about who's the chosen one. Because Esav says, hey, we share the same mother, we share the same father.
Who's Esav today?
It's an excellent question. Usually it's assumed it's the Christians.
Europe nations, genetically.
So, that's an interesting point. I don't think we should open that Pandora's box. It's a question, who is Esav today? Meaning, usually what's assumed in Chazal is that Esav is represented by the Christians and Yishmael is the Muslims, and that seems to be the route the Rambam also takes in Egeret Teiman. But the Rishonim, like Ibn Ezra, will go the route that our geneticist is going. You notice that you went through the genetics.
European nations.
They say, the Ibn Ezra says, wait a second, what do the Christians have to do with Esav? Esav's genes, who has Esav's genes?
Well,
that's what interests us. Oh, so that doesn't mean that every Indian and every person out in all over who adopted Christianity becomes Esav. So Ibn Ezra discusses that. We find that it's pretty much accepted in Chazal that Esav is Rome, or Esav is the Christians, and Yishmael is the Muslims. ולזה אמרו כי משלבת אמנות יעקב והיות הרי עשיו שממה, and therefore God says, when you see the peace, the tranquility in the castles of Jacob, and you see the desolation of the cities, the tranquility in the castles of Yaakov, and the desolation in the cities of Esav, וחילון תנו השם יתברך להרוע עמו, and God did not allow Esav to harm Yaakov, ובחר ביעקב, God chose Yaakov, from that you could see the indication, כי השם היבוא, that God loves him, כי לא מצא יעקב און לו יעמיק להשחית ביעקב בקנאו את קנאתו. Because he could not find a breach, Esav couldn't find a breach, the strength to completely annihilate Yaakov. So point number one, you want to know my love, God says, because according to nature, Esav is the one that should be jealous, Esav is the one that should want to destroy Yaakov, and look, I haven't let them destroy you. Look at the fact. Esav has spent his life in jealousy, and Esav has wanted to annihilate you, and you see that at that point in history, Esav's cities are destroyed and you're still around. You've made it this far. So that's the first step of the Ran's explanation. We got a long way to go. But this is the first step. The prophet said, you want to know my love? Well, I love you, I hate Esav. Look, I've destroyed their cities and you're living in peace. The Ran says, the idea is there's a marked difference between our relationship with Esav to our relationship with Yishmael. Esav says, I come from the same mother and father. What's the difference? If you think about it, it goes even deeper. We're twins. I was born first. We come from the same womb at the same time, and I was born first. Why should you be the chosen one? To which God says, okay, so you understand that Esav is going to have this enmity for you, the Jewish people, and the fact that you're still around, you have peaceful castles, that's the indication I love you. But again, remember, the Ran is just starting. We have to see the full speech. We'll get there. I think the 13th. Thank you.